In this season of Lent, we are focused on our sins, on turning away from them and purifying ourselves and atoning for our temporal punishment by fasting and mortification. And a lot of people pray more and do additional mortification, even beyond the rules of the church. But a lot of people neglect the most powerful means that we have to atone for our sins, the means that God has given us, the one way that we have to appease Him and offer Him infinite worship, and that is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I wanted to talk today about the Mass and the tremendous effect it has on cleansing us of our sins and drawing us away from them, and why we should make the Mass the focal point of our Lent and our life as a whole. The Mass is the most important thing in the entire world, not only during Lent, but all the time. We know by common sense that our human nature is so weak, and we sin so much that we have to have some way of atoning for this. And this has always been the case, even before the coming of Christ. The holy patriarch Job in the Old Testament would call all 10 of his children together every single week to sanctify them and to offer sacrifice for their sins. And under the Mosaic Law, God designed a sacrifice for sin, and God said to Moses, "Let him do penance for his sin and offer a lamb or a goat, and the priest shall pray for him and his sin, and it shall be forgiven him." This was the means of forgiveness before the coming of Christ. Now, the old law was only a shadow of the new law, so we can certainly expect that the means of forgiveness and atonement for sin will be much better and more powerful now than it was they were in the Old Testament. And of course, it is true, we have the perfect sacrifice now, the death of our Lord on Calvary, who offered an infinite atonement to God for the sins of the world. But the bloody sacrifice of Christ was only offered once, and it can't be repeated, so we need another sacrifice that will be offered every day for our sins. And this is, of course, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which really makes present again the death of Christ, but in an unbloody manner, and offers it again to God for our souls. And sure enough, the Council of Trent teaches us that our Lord gave the Church a visible sacrifice so that His bloody sacrifice could be presented again, and its saving power could be applied for the remission of the sins that we commit every single day. Those are its exact words. It's obvious if you read the prayers of the Mass that it is a sacrifice intended to atone for our sins, among other things. At the very beginning of the Mass, the priest says the Confiteor, and he asks for the forgiveness of his sins even multiple times before he even gets to the introit in the Mass. And again in the Kyrie, he asks for God's mercy 9 times in a row. In fact, the forgiveness of our sins is the very first thing that we need from God, and the one thing that we need the most. So the Church teaches that our Lord offered His suffering and death in atonement for our sins, which is something that should be very encouraging to us. But we have to assist at Mass and offer the precious blood to God in atonement for our sins. The forgiveness of our sins is not something we receive automatically, but only if we participate in our redemption and if we offer the merits of Christ to God the Father in atonement for our sins. We all have even more sins than we can imagine, and certainly the guilt of our sins is more than we can even understand, because we are constantly downplaying and minimizing our own guilt. And some sins are so habitual to us that we have justified these things to us so long ago that we don't even notice anymore when we commit them. So for all these reasons, our debt of sin is likely vastly more than we can comprehend. King David in the Psalms described this too. He said, "Do not remember the sins of my youth and my ignorances," meaning the sins that he didn't know that he had committed. But certainly the Mass is tremendously powerful at purifying us of our sins, and in various different ways. Pope Julius I, who died as a martyr, he said simply, "All sins and iniquities are blotted out by the offering of this oblation, by the Mass." This is something very encouraging for us. And St. Athanasius says, "The offering of the unbloody sacrifice is the expiation of our crimes." We could quote fathers of the Church saying this all day long, but the point is that the Mass is the most powerful means that we have of appeasing God and atoning for our sins. And how could it not be? In Mass, we offer to God the death of our Lord, the infinitely pleasing sacrifice that he offered of his own life in reparation for our sins. Now, someone might ask, why do we have to appease God with a special sacrifice if we can obtain the forgiveness of our sins just by being sorry for them and going to confession? The answer is that certainly God will forgive us any sin if we are sorry. But the problem is, how do we obtain contrition for our sins? We can't just suddenly become sorry for our sins like turning on a light switch. It would be easier to expect a dead person to rise from the dead than to expect a sinner simply to turn away from his sins by his own will. If just anybody could suddenly be sorry for his sins by his own choice, then hardly anybody would ever go to hell, because everyone who has been living a sinful life could suddenly tell God they are sorry for their sins right before they die, and they would go to heaven, assuming they had perfect contrition. No, it takes special graces from God to give someone the sorrow for their sins that they need in order to repent. And sometimes God can give us these graces by us reading a holy book or hearing a sermon. That can give someone the grace of repentance. But as I said, this requires a special grace from God. And God doesn't always give those special graces, because we are never worthy of them at all. But there is nothing more effective at obtaining for us the grace that we need to repent of our sins than the Holy Mass, which is the most powerful means we have of obtaining God's grace and his pardon, as I said. There was a holy priest who said that the Holy Mass is so good at expiating our sins that people who assist at Mass receive the grace to do whatever is necessary to repent of even their mortal sins. God gives them the grace to make a good confession. And our Lord said this to St. Gertrude once during Holy Week. He spoke to her and he said that he wants to be sacrificed on the altar for every sinner at Mass, just as he died on the cross for the salvation of the whole world. He said that therefore there was no one that was so sinful that he wouldn't be able to hope for pardon if he assists at Mass and asks for God's forgiveness. This really shows us the love of our Lord for man and even for sinners. But it shows us the means through which we have to obtain the pardon of our sins. We have to assist at Mass and offer this holy sacrifice in reparation for our sins, and to ask for the grace to be sorry for them and to repent. And our Lord said something similar to St. Mechtild, the great mystic and also contemporary of St. Gertrude. He told her that his love and his patience are so great that when he comes down onto the altar in the Mass, that there is no sinner in the Church that can be so sinful, that our Lord isn't patient with that person, and that he gladly grants the forgiveness of his sins if the person wants it. What a tremendous promise this is. And anyone who is attached to mortal sin and can't tear himself away from it, even to make his Easter duty, should remember this, that if he comes and assists at Mass, and does so even when he is not obliged, that our Lord will give that person the strength to turn away from his sins and receive God's forgiveness. There was one time there was a holy hermit named St. Paul the Simple who could read people's hearts. One day he was standing outside the door of the church on Sunday morning when all the hermits of the desert were coming in to assist at their Sunday Mass. And he would see the soul of each hermit coming in. He would do this every Sunday, in fact. And if he saw that one of them was in the state of mortal sin, he would admonish him privately. So one day he was standing there at the door of the church, and he saw this hermit come in who appeared completely black, and he was in chains, and there were two devils, one on each side, dragging him by the chains. And his guardian angel was walking behind him and appeared very sorrowful. And St. Paul the Simple was shocked to see this man's condition, and he prayed for his soul during Mass. But after Mass, he stood at the door of the church again, and he saw this same hermit come out, and his face was smiling and shining, and his guardian angel was walking next to him. And the two devils that were dragging him before Mass were now walking behind him, completely defeated. And St. Paul the Simple asked him what happened in church. And the hermit said that he had been leading a very sinful life, but in the Mass, he had prayed to God and asked for the forgiveness of his sins, and God gave him the grace of repentance, and he confessed his sins and he came out in sanctifying grace. Certainly, the Mass is the great means of salvation and of obtaining the mercy of God. We have to apply this in our own lives too. If we have been neglecting this great means of God's mercy, how much harm have we caused ourselves by our sloth in not assisting at Mass with fervor and using it to obtain God's forgiveness and mercy? Let us resolve to be more diligent in assisting at every Mass we possibly can this Lent, and not just on Sunday, but every day that we possibly can. So all of this raises the question, what effect does the Mass have on sinners? Well, St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Mass is a powerful means of atonement. He says, the special effect of the holy sacrifice of the Mass is that it operates our reconciliation with God. And he explains that if we do an injury to our fellow man, someone else, and he gets mad at us, if we give that person then a valuable gift or do him a big favor, he will forgive us because of what we give him or do for him. And St. Thomas says, in the same way, God's anger towards us is appeased when we worship him through the sacrifice of the Mass. Because we are giving to God the precious blood of our Lord that he shed for our sins. Now, we have to make some distinctions here, because this will certainly give someone the grace to repent if he is willing to do so. But what will happen with someone who is obstinate in sin, who attends Mass? This is a more complicated question than the first one. But with an unrepentant sinner, the Mass is not able to bring such a person to the sorrow for his sins, obviously, since he rejects God's grace. But at the same time, the Mass will still be of tremendous benefit to such a person. And it will help him both spiritually and physically. First of all, in this life, God will preserve such a person, even a hardened sinner, from some physical misfortune sometimes if he attends Mass, or give him favors even in this world, such as giving him more time to repent. because God always rewards any good that people do, and assisting at Mass is the greatest good thing that we can do. But even a hardened sinner receives spiritual benefits that are even greater than that, because in Mass, God will give that person greater knowledge and greater horror for his sins, in order to dispose him gradually to receive the grace of conversion. And also, it doesn't follow that these effects of the Mass will be visible right away either. It may happen that the graces that a person receives from hearing Mass will take effect later on. This is how grace works. At the first Mass, at the death of our Lord on Calvary, many people went home after seeing the crucifixion striking their breast and saying, "This was the Son of God." But it wasn't until Pentecost Sunday that those graces then took effect and they entered the church. And on that day, on the first Pentecost, 3,000 people converted at the preaching of St. Peter. So that was obviously the fruit of the death of our Lord. So in the same way, in the Mass, God doesn't always convert someone immediately. It might take time, and it can be a gradual process, as God often softens the heart of the sinner gradually and disposes him to receive gradually more and more grace. And Marcantius explains, Holy Mass does not blot out sin directly, but it produces contrition, or the desire of contrition. Sometimes this contrition is given during the celebration of Mass, which is said for a particular person, he says, or sometimes at a later time, but it is always given because of that Mass. And he says that sometimes a sinner will convert later just out of the blue, and he doesn't know that he owes his repentance to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, maybe that somebody had offered for his conversion. And when someone doesn't repent, of course, it's because he has rejected the graces that God has offered him. All of this rests on the authority of the Council of Trent, which says that the Mass is the great means of reconciling us, reconciling the sinner to God and obtaining the forgiveness of all of his sins. So this should encourage anyone who feels helpless against sin or doesn't think that he can repent. What someone like that has to do is to attend Mass as often as he can to obtain the help he needs from God to repent of his sins. And hearing Mass is not like receiving the sacraments. It is perfectly fine to hear Mass in the state of mortal sin. Someone not only does not sin by doing this as he would if he received Holy Communion in mortal sin, but on the contrary, that person will receive the graces to repent. And all of this is true in a similar way if someone hears Mass on behalf of a great sinner as well. When we hear Mass for others or have Masses said for others, God gives those people the grace to repent of their sins. We see this in the life of St. Gertrude too. There was one time she was going to pray for some hardened sinners as she was assisting at Mass. And she hesitated and thought that her prayers maybe wouldn't work because those people that she wanted to pray for were so obstinate. And our Lord spoke to her and he said, "Do you suppose that my spotless body and my precious blood here on the altar are not powerful enough to bring those in the way of perdition to a better kind of life?" And St. Gertrude was very much encouraged by this. And the people that she was praying for actually repented of their sins because of the graces from this Mass. Last of all, I want to talk about the effect of the Mass to blot out our venial sins and our temporal punishment. We all have countless venial sins on our soul, and more temporal punishment than we can imagine. And if we didn't have a remedy like the Mass, we would be in a terrible situation. But the Council of Trent says again that Christ instituted the Holy Mass at the Last Supper so that its saving power could be applied to the remission of the sins that we commit every day. So the Mass can obtain for us the forgiveness of our venial sins, which is sort of the same term as our daily sins. There was a theologian who said that the sacrifice of the Mass is repeated every day because we sin every day. And the sins that we commit are inevitable to human weakness. He said, therefore, as long as we continue to sin, we will continue to offer the death of Christ in atonement for those sins. And Suarez tells us this too, that if we assist at Mass and we offer it to atone for our venial sins, that certainly it will obtain for us the forgiveness of them, because that is a sign that we are sorry for those sins. There was a priest who said very beautifully that the fruit of the Mass is amazingly rich because it makes us partake in the riches and the merits of Christ and of his sanctification of us. He says the Mass is so powerful that our sins melt away in front of it like wax before a fire. He says the punishments that we have deserved are taken away from us. This is why people who only grudgingly attend Mass and only attend Mass on Sunday because they are obliged to do so, who never assist at any extra Masses, are throwing away the greatest source of grace and atonement for their sins that they have. And one day they will understand what they have wasted, and they will regret it, but then it will be too late. People who don't come to Mass on their day off, just because it's not Sunday, are going to end up before the tribunal of God with a long and severe sentence in the next world if they make it to purgatory. And as we know, people who only do the minimum often don't even end up doing the minimum either. So people who don't attend Mass ever except on Sunday are running a great risk of their salvation. Nobody anymore in today's society works 7 days a week, and generally not even six. And everybody has cars and can drive. So there's no excuse for someone to say, I only go to Mass on Sunday and not on any other day. Such a person is despising the generosity of God. But at least now during Lent, people like this should come to Mass during this Lent to obtain the forgiveness of their sins and temporal punishment. The Mass is an ever-flowing fountain of grace and mercy from God. It was prophesied in Zacharias, who said, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which of course is the members of the Catholic Church now. And the waters of this fountain can cleanse our souls from the guilt of sin and our temporal punishment. But just like any fountain, you have to go to the fountain and get the water in order for it to do you any good. The same is true of the Mass. We have to go to Mass in order to have our souls cleansed in these life-giving waters. Our Lord said, you that thirst, come to the waters. Are we not all thirsty for the mercy of God? And it says in the Apocalypse, he that thirsteth, let him come, and he that will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Mass is the free and ever-flowing source of grace for us. We need all the grace we can get. Let us come to Mass as often as we possibly can, even when we are not obliged, and bathe our souls in the precious blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.